Dan Patron.
Hey, Derek. What's the skinny, brother?
So good to see you, man.
Yeah, thanks. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about job costing. I want to scare everybody on this podcast. We're going to talk about money and knowing your numbers because this is a sales podcast. However, you can't sell if you don't know your numbers. And here we are in 2024. I get excited about this stuff. I get excited about looking at overhead. I get excited about looking at overhead recovery. I get excited about what were our profit margins on the jobs we did in 2023. Do we need to adjust numbers up or down? What do we need to do? Do we need to slash overhead? What do we need to do? I love this stuff. Once upon a time, I did not. And I know a lot of contractors, Tim, I even know some contractors that don't even want to open their bank accounts because they're afraid of what they're going to see.
I was that guy. I was the guy in the room when Steve started talking about his bank account that was really quiet. I kind of walked away. Not because I didn't have money, because I didn't know how I had the money, right? So I might have had $30,000 in my account, but I didn't know how it got there.
Like Homer Simpson, like when you see him like easing back in the shrubs, the bushes, and he just fades away.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, I know there's people listening to the podcast are saying the same thing as, you don't fucking know. I have all this money in the bank. It's like, yeah, well, how'd you get it?
Right.
How did you get to that? Because you may have money in the bank. You had a great year last year. And you say, well, I'm just going to do what I did last year. Okay, what's the formula for that, though? If you don't have the foundation of knowing what you have to make every day. You and I have talked about this earlier on last year, in 2023, about knowing what it costs you every day to work, how it costs you for your overhead. And this is the time of year, if you haven't done it already, to know what it costs you to be in business.
Tremendous.
And I can tell you, honestly, Derek, I look at that number, about my overhead, my yearly overhead, and I kind of threw up in the back of my mouth a little bit.
Yeah. Good to know, right?
Because it's really eye-watering. But, and like Tom Reber said, first thing's going to happen, the numbers are going to make you mad.
Yeah.
Right? But the truth sets you free. The numbers don't lie. So let's talk about calculating overhead. Can we talk about that?
Sure. I want to touch on just that aspect of really understanding your numbers. And if I'm just going to repeat the same year over and over and over, really what that looks like, because so many people just assume that they're making money and they don't want to look at it and they're scared. So what does it look like? It's really simple. You just have to look at what it costs you to run your business for a year. And if you have an accountant, it's great. If you have a bookkeeper, it's great. But if not, I mean, gosh, you just pull your bank statements and just look at what you're spending money on. And then you figure out how many working days you have in a year. And then you decide, okay, do I work 5 days a week? Do I work 4 days a week? Work 5 days a week, it's going to be 20 working days a month. If you work 4 days a week, which we do, we work four tens, it's about 17.5 days a month. Mm-hmm. So you just do a little math and you figure it out. It's not that hard. I'd like to know what my daily overhead recovery is. That's huge for me. So the math is not that hard. Now, Tom Reber, I love him, but boy, when he really starts breaking down overhead recovery, he does it in a little different fashion and it confuses me because I'm just dumb like that. So when I finally figured out how to do it, to reverse engineer and then see what it looks like, it helped me tremendously. And then I knew if I need to recover, which I need to recover $3,000 a day, that's what I have to recover. Because when I look at my numbers, we work approximately 264 days a year. Then I do a little math. Okay, 264 days. Break it all the way down. And then, okay, it's $3,000 a day, which is a four-day deal. So three times four, what's that? 12,000? So if I double that, I want to operate at 50%, that's $24,000. So I recover half of that. I keep the other half. And then, yes, you put cost of goods on top of that. That is as simple as I can possibly explain it. Does that make sense?
To me, it does, Derek. But if you haven't done it before, I'm going to talk about some of the things that'll keep you from doing it.
Sure.
First thing I think of when there's somebody says you have to figure out what you have to recover, what it costs you to own the business, what it costs you to put the lights on in the morning without having any work. Because that's what we're talking about, calculating what it costs you to run your business without having any business.
I like to say,
the thing that bothers me, and
I just want to say, I like to say, what is your business eating when you're not working? That's what a lot of people don't think about.
What you said was the, hey, just pull your bank statement out and figure out what you're paying.
Yeah.
Here's what my dilemma was. A lot of stuff I may pay with checks. A lot of stuff I may pay with credit card. A lot of stuff I pay with my debit card. And you have all these sources. You have to track this stuff down.
Yeah.
The first thing I did, Derek, was go through the list of what these things that have to get paid, whether I have work or not. Yeah. I write those down. If I'm going to have a trash service come every 2 weeks, how much does that cost every month? What's it cost a year? Multiply it times 4 and write that down. What's going to cost for my CRM, my website maintenance, any automations, electrical, cell phone bill, right? Mm-hmm. What other things? I don't know, anything for your software, for your computers, any storage, online storage, your salaries. Yeah, that's a big one for us.
Insurance.
Right. Insurance on your vehicles, insurance for your business, workers' comp, payments on your vehicles. Writing all that stuff down. That's what the hardest part for me was to do, is trying to wrap my head around what are the things that you have to get paid, whether I have the phone ringing or not, but that something happens. It's intimidating to me, Derek, and I don't know why it was, but now it's repeatable, because what I did was I created a spreadsheet on Excel and put all these things down there, what they cost me, and did the formula for how much it cost me a year versus a month. And it calculates it right down to how many days and what I have to do every day, how many days of work year that we work, and how much that number is. So when 2023 changes to 2024, what do you think I'm looking for on my computer?
Mm-hmm.
That spreadsheet. I'm going to pull it back out and I'm going to update. The items are still there. Nothing has changed. I still have the same vehicles. And if I have another vehicle, I just add that vehicle in. Or if I pay one off, I take that out of there. If my insurances go up, I adjust my insurances. How do I know how much insurance costs?
If I call my insurance company. Sorry, if I pay a vehicle off, I don't take it out of overhead. I leave it in there because I'm going to have to replace that vehicle. And the thing is, if I leave it in there at the past, so let's say the 2016 F-250 that was paid off, and then I bought another 250. Before I did that, the 2016 was probably paid off for a year. Never took it out of overhead. However, even though I was putting that money in there, it was still not as much as the new truck. But the cool part, at least I had a nice little nest egg when I rolled the new truck into the overhead, because I was still paying it in. So I had a little bit of a surplus. So I don't take it in my machines. Both my machines are paid off. I don't take those out of overhead. I leave them in there so that when I go to purchase a new one, I have a little cash.
Yeah, that's next level thinking, dude. That's because you've been doing it for a while. And you can, to me, I call that, well, I don't know if it's truly calling double dipping, but you're having that money put aside, even though it's really not there. So when you do make that purchase, you already have some cash and your system's already set up to have that in as your overhead.
Yeah.
And I like that because I do the same thing. I pack it.
Let me share a little tip. And this is something as far as, since we're talking about overhead, and my grandfather told me this years ago, and I put it in my calendar. January 1, I get a reminder, do what granddaddy did. That's the reminder. So the first 2 weeks of January, what my grandfather would do, he would look at all of his bills. He would go through all of his bills and just see if anything's went up. Look at his investments. He would look at everything. That was his goal. And he would even call the phone company and try to negotiate. He would call the cable company and try to negotiate. He would literally look at things. Did something go up? Did something go down? And it's religious. So it's in my calendar. And I've been doing this for probably 15 years. So from January, the first 2 weeks of January, I know that I need to be looking at, of course, business overhead. And I need to make sure, do I need to trim some fat? Because here's the thing, Tim, you know this, and everybody knows this. Through COVID, we all got fat. We added a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of deals out there. We had all kinds of work. We added a bunch of stuff that we probably didn't even need. And as we're coming into 2024, things have slowed down a little bit. My phone is not ringing as much, and it was bound to happen. And I'm not saying the sky's falling, like business is going to change, but this is how you adjust. You go, okay, let's just say if 2024 is not as lucrative as what COVID did, I want to be prepared for it. So what can I look at? Is there anything that I'm spending money on? You know what I found? Just one little simple thing. It was Google, I don't know what you call it, like just more space. I don't even know the right term.
Cloud space. You know? Yeah.
you know what the hell that's called? For some reason, we were paying three different ones. So there was one that was like $8 a month, and this one is $9 a month. And I think even one is like $20 a month. And I was like, what is this? And we broke it down. Like, we didn't need the other two. So, you know, that was a few $100 just right there. That just didn't even. And then the cable. We went, okay, are we going to go with fiber? Are we going to stay with the cable? What are we going to do with the garden center? Are we going to go AT&T? And we looked at that. We negotiated that down. That was $30, $40 a month. There was just things. But if you don't look at them, and you can't, expect your office manager or someone else in your company to look for those things. You can't expect that. Now, you might have someone that's an awesome person and they operate in a way at their home. They're very frugal, if you will. They're very mindful. But you can also have people working for you that goes, hey, my money, I'm not going to look at that stuff. But we do because we want to make sure. Because if I can get my daily overhead recovery from 3,000 to 2,700 or to 2,900 or to 2,500, that's just more money in the pocket.
Picture this. You're running a profitable contracting business. You're not driving around in the truck all day. You're talking on the phone more than anything. You're having great conversations with your clients. They know that you actually care about them. You talk about money on the phone. You're working with the people that are gonna work with you and not the people that are gonna waste your time. Sounds too good to be true, right? I thought so myself, but just a few years ago, I discovered the Shin Fu here at the Contractor Fight. And once I started practicing it and learning it, my life changed. Not only did I learn how to sell, it's made me a better husband, a better father, and a better person all around. So if this sounds like you and you want to be able to run a profitable contract business, go ahead, do yourself a favor, hit the link below, get this training, get some quick wins, get out of the field, get in the office, go make some money.
So you're talking about, you know, $20 here for your online storage, and you're talking about a little bit cheaper for your cable. So maybe at the end of the month, you're talking another $100 times 12, $1,200. And it's not their money. It's your money. It's $1,200 in your pocket rather than something that you're not using, you don't need.
Or pocket, in our pocket, or bonuses for the team, or something nice for the team. I mean, it's literally the difference because we provide snacks for our team. So we don't go to Kroger's. We don't go to Publix and get the snacks. We go to Costco. And we get all the snacks. There's just savings there. I mean, I know that's silly, but if you're buying stuff, why not go to the big box store, that place, and the warehouse stores and buy your toilet paper, your paper towels? Because I know some people don't even do that. Most do. But that all goes into overhead. And where does this come? How does this tie in? Because this is not a numbers call. How does it tie into sales? If you can recover it and you know what it is, you can sell appropriately. You can operate off of a 50% profit margin, or you can operate off a daily. What do I need to make per day? Which that's how I do most things. But on bigger jobs, I look at it both. Okay, man hours, how much do I need to make a day? How much would I like to make a day? And then how much would I make if I did based on 50% profit margin? What does that look like? So I'll look at it both ways because I know how that works. And then let's just say, for instance, I got somebody on the phone. We're having a great conversation. They're looking at a particular package. They want a particular thing, and I've recovered some overhead. I tightened up my numbers, and they're just on the fence. And I can go, you know what? Maybe we can work this out. If I know they're good at 20, but I'm at 22, and then I start getting creative, going, where can I possibly recover that other $2,000 and sell this job a little less? And they'll buy it. Not them negotiating. That's just their fixed. That's their fixed rate that they want to do. If you don't know your numbers, you can't be creative within your sales. Because I won't operate at 50% profit margin. But I'm not dumb, Tim, and you know that. If I get 40, I'll get 40. I want 50. I want 50 plus. But you have to be a hustler. And if you're in this business, and we're going into what I feel is like a normal season. Before all the COVID, before all just the craziness and all that, where people are like, yes, I'll spend a bunch of money, don't care. We got all these checks and stuff. I think we're going into a normal operating season. And I want to be prepared for that. I want to be a hustler. I want to make sure that I make the same amount of money plus, because I want some stuff. I got, you know, Tim, there for a minute, I was pretty cool with what I had. I want to have the ability to just go, yes. And I'm not saying go silly, but I don't want to be restricted. I don't want to be restricted. And I'll say this one thing, because I know you got something to say. I remember meeting this guy years ago, and he literally had a log cabin disassembled and tagged, and had a house tore down right across from our street, because we lived across the street from the river when I grew up, and tore the house down and had this log cabin built. Beautiful cabin. Had the angle just right looking down the river, because you could almost see not quite downtown Nashville, but you could actually probably could, because he built it up tall. So you could see the buildings from the fireworks and the whole thing. And I remember his friend saying, you know, He doesn't even carry a checkbook ledger. He doesn't even worry about it. He just spends money and he doesn't even have to reconcile his checkbook ledger. And I remember going, man, one of these days, I don't want to have to worry about that. Now, I have to be mindful of my spending because I know what could exceed that, but I don't want to be at the store and go, did I balance my checkbook?
I hear what you're saying, Derek. I just, dude, that part of the control part of me says I'm always going to want to look at my numbers. I'm going to want to know where my money's going. But to have that ability to say I have that much where it doesn't matter. It's just, I know there's a constant flow coming in. This is a lot here, Derek.
Yeah. We got to think about this stuff. You got to know your numbers. You have to look at your overhead recovery so that when you're on the phone with a client, you have to know your numbers. You have to have your packages put together. And I know people are going, we can't have packages. That's just not true. It doesn't have to be a true package. You just have to go, if it's a deck, it's going to cost about this much. If it's going to be a bathroom, I've got 3 or 4 different types of bathrooms based on square footage and based on styles. If it's going to be a kitchen, if it's going to be a basement remodel, you have to look at that and see, and you have to check with your suppliers because that's another thing too. Sometimes suppliers will give you a little deal. I come across that every now and again. I get some deals on some extra things. It's, well, okay, if someone wants to negotiate or a little bit on the fence, okay, I got another $100-$200 over here because the manufacturer hooked me up a little bit. I'll pass that on to the customer to not lose a job. He's got to be creative. But
these are the things you could do, right? These are the things you got to be creative. And what we talked about prior to starting a recording is like when you're slow, when you're getting things ready at the beginning of the year, you know, before you really get busy, if it's seasonal or something like that, or you have a lull, these are the things you should be doing. Checking your overhead, making sure your expenses are where they're at, talking to your vendors, creating the relationships so you can price things properly. So you can sell things at make your profit, you have to, and take into consideration that you have to feed the machine, and the machine is the company. The company has to make money. There's nothing wrong with that. But knowing your numbers, it's not just shooting from the hip. It's knowing what it actually costs you to do the job.
And a lot of people are still shooting from the hip. And a lot of young guys and gals getting in the group, they're just kind of doing what other people did. And you got to be careful because their overhead may be different than yours. Or they just don't even know how to run a business. I literally just had my office painted and I was talking to the guy and I sent Ben Wright, sent his number because Ben, I literally had Ben come over and look at this. And Ben said, oh man, I'd be twice that. I was like, yeah, he's one man show. And I talked to the guy too. And I said, I referred you to Ben. You guys need to do business together because the guy he uses is really twice as good. You're doing it as good a quality as his guy, but you're half the price. And what do you think the painter said immediately?
I would just say, I don't know. Tell me, what did he say?
He said, you know what? I understand my overhead and I have really low overhead and I know my numbers. Came right out of his mouth.
Come on.
Yeah.
Seriously, the guy knew his business.
Yeah. No reason to even introduce him to the fight. And we chatted a little more about it. And he heard me actually yesterday because he was painting some stuff in the hallway as well. And he heard me. And at the end of it, he said, sorry, I wasn't eavesdropping, but you know, I could hear you because I was in the hall. He said, what's that thing you're talking about? What is that? Because it was a go-gay. And I was like, and I gave him a little rundown. He said, so you have a group of people that actually get together and role play and practice talking to people? I was like, yeah, that's really cool. And I just said, if you ever want to know anything about it, just let me know. More than happy to share it. But then as today we talked about it, I was like, you don't need this. You're one man, dude. You got it figured out. Operate smooth. It runs a nice little minivan, nothing crazy. Even his setup, I was paying attention to his painting setup. Like really, really organized guy. Clean. Everything's in one spot. He'd literally take a little corner and he just takes some cardboard boxes and he lays everything out. He's got his right ladders. It's just extremely efficient. Been doing it for probably 20, 30 years. And I asked him, I was like, how do you feel working alone? He said, I love it. I used to have 10 guys. I'm totally cool being by myself. I just listen to the radio and I just paint.
I love it. Cause you know what? I was listening to you on a coaching call yesterday. And the theme, whether it was meant to be that way or not, is be true to who you are and what you want to be. You know, some people out there want to have a 10 people working for them or 5 people working for them. Some people are just happy being a one man band. Mm-hmm. It's if you're comfortable doing that, then go do it, but be the best you can do at it. And the guy's narrowed it down. He's had it bigger, and now he goes smaller because it suits him. So be who you want to be. Charge where you need to charge, but be happy. And it seems like the guy's got his process, and he knows his numbers, and he knows what he needs to do to have steak when he wants to eat steak, right?
Well, I asked him, I said, so how many days you work a year? He's like, I mostly paint inside. I do a lot of cabinets too, so I don't really work outside. And he works with, I found him through a realtor friend. Because realtors know a lot of people, right? They have to get things fixed up. They have to get things passed. They have to get things done before people move in or move out. I didn't realize this until a couple of years ago, that that's a really big asset. So if you're not working with your local realtors or don't know realtors and get in front of realtors, you need to.
Yeah, it's good advice.
They're valuable. And through that, he said, on average, you know, I keep it pretty tight. I don't work all year round. I take a couple of weeks off, holidays. I'm about 320 days a year working.
Good for him. How exciting is that, right?
And I know what I paid him. He's about 500. It's about 550 a day. Do the math on that. In painting, we know painting overhead is just the paint. Not a lot there. Now he has some, you know, other things. He's making some good money. He's completely happy. But he knows his numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't work by the hour.
You're right.
It's flat rate.
Yeah. Everybody's version of happiness is different. And he seems to be happy with what he's doing. So with that, Derek, wrap this up, brother. Package this up.
Spend some time on your numbers so that when you're on the phone, especially now, look at your overhead. Tighten things up where you need to tighten it up. Add some things if you need to add some things. But really look at that. Trim the fat so that when you're on the phone, and you're going through the five steps of Shinfu, you're going to be confident, like you and I had a short discussion earlier before we got on here, that you went to see someone and they couldn't give you a number. And it was frustrating. Be ready to give someone. Now, here's the other thing, too. Sometimes you do have to do a takeoff. Sometimes you do have to go see them. Sometimes it's not going to be exact. But there's nothing wrong with knowing your numbers and giving them an estimated price. And then speak the truth, going, hey, I know we're just having a conversation over the phone, but I may get out there and see something that may change that price. But just get them a price and get them an accurate price. Because if you're super busy and you're booked for 6 months, 6 years, you might be too cheap.
Yeah. Let's talk about that next time, Derek. We're going to talk about that experience.
Absolutely. Cool? Awesome. Thanks, Tim.
All right, man. See you. Bye.